Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123.
Our core business for the last 31 years has been industrial sewing machines for the apparel and textile industry. Of late, we have a vast network of friends throughout the industry wanting us to locate items that nobody can find, such as hand sanitizer, masks, KN95s, isolation face shields, elastic, and we start to supply these people who are sewing at home, healthcare workers and people like that, hospitals and different ones with these kind of products. You can call me at 205-485-3891. You can send me an email, robert@callyourequipment.com. You can call the office at area code 256-229-6595. You can connect with our business page, Facebook, at Call Your Equipment, Inc. We're on Instagram under Call Your Equipment. So we've got many sources that you can contact us or send us a message.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark Wyatt Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. I am your host, Mark Wyatt, and right now I have on the line with me is a dear friend, Keith Stonehart. Welcome to The Mark Wyatt Show, Keith.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Doing great. I grew up not far from the area that you are now in, around the Fultondale area. I was in Center Point after we moved from Athens in 1989. Granddaddy started preaching at Sun Valley, which is no longer, but we were in that area for quite some time and built a lot of relationships in the Fultondale and Gardendale area.
Wow. Yeah, listen, it's a great place. I've never regretted the move here. You know, moving here from Atlanta 7 years ago to work with the Fultondale Church, we weren't sure what to expect. You know, having grown up in Atlanta, there's, you know, it's a very different environment. It's been the best thing, the best move.
Well, one of the things I think about you, Keith, when I look at a picture and we're talking through WhatsApp right now and I see this mohawk on your head, and I was raised by a preacher too that never would have had a mohawk in his life.
Right.
How do you beat that in Fultondale, Alabama? How do you get past that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was a bit of a shock, I think, to the system here when I first came. You know, when the elders offered me the opportunity, it had kind of been building up. I had gotten involved with some of the folks from Fultondale and going to FC Alabama camp. My first year there was 2010. There were several of the members of Fultondale who were on staff there and got really close, as you do at camp. It's such an intense experience. You know, you get you make really close friendships fast, especially if you have good chemistry. And I did with several folks. And I had the mohawk at camp, and they just assumed that it was a camp thing. You know, there was something that I did for camp, and that was it. But I always have a mohawk. You know, and the next year we came back in 2011. And at that time, one of the men had mentioned to me that their preacher was in Kenny Mars, who was a Fultondale for, I think, 10 years. Kenny had announced that he was going to be moving back to California to take care of his parents and that they were going to be without a preacher. And I wasn't really preaching full time. I was doing some, you know, some fill in work here and there. But I owned a roofing company. And so that was how I made my money. I made my living. But they asked if I would like to come over to Fultondale and preach sometime. And so I did a couple of times. And then they offered me the chance to come and work here full time as the preacher. And, you know, when I sat down with the elders, you know, and that was my question to them. I was like, are y'all sure you got the right guy here? That you sure it's me? And I said, because I don't fit the traditional preacher role that you might be accustomed to. And to my surprise, they actually said, that's actually why we're interested. You come from a little bit different of a background. You've got a different perspective, especially when it comes to evangelism. And that I tend to go to the fringes. I look for the people who aren't necessarily what we would consider a lot of times a quote-unquote good candidate for the gospel. I go for the people who are on those outer edges because that's where I came from. And that's what they wanted. Listen, I was as shocked as anybody. And I asked them, I said, well, listen, do you need me to change up anything? My opinion. And they said, no, listen, we don't want you to change anything. We grew to love you with the mohawk. Keep the mohawk. you know, I typically don't wear suits in the pulpit. And that was something that they were also okay with because they said it gave me a very different approach when it came to reaching some of the younger folks and that sort of thing. And so they actually were attracted to all of that. And listen, like I said, I was as shocked as anybody. But it's been a great fit, and we've had our experience here has been second to none. And of course, I have nothing really to compare it to, but you know, preaching full time was never on my radar. And when this congregation presented the opportunity, it seemed like it was the right move to make, and I can fully assure you that it has been.
You addressed it a little bit, is of course the connection that you do make with young people, and yes, some of the experiences that you had in life that differentiate, I believe is an appropriate word, to say that it differentiates you because you had some experiences maybe that some people in the church had not experienced themselves. They've heard about them. They've heard about these experiences, yes, and they've heard about the type of people that go through these experiences, but they haven't actually lived it themselves.
I grew up in a non-religious household. You know, not to say that my mother wasn't a believer. My dad certainly proclaimed that he was, but there was never any sort of religious activities going on in our home. We didn't attend worship services anywhere. We didn't study the Bible. It just wasn't a thing. And along with that, my mother and father's marriage was troubled long before I was even born. They had always had a very rough relationship. And my father was an alcoholic and a drug user. And, you know, that obviously played in heavily with my formative years of what I thought was normal, and had a lot to do with some of the decisions that I made too, and in modeling what he was doing. And he was also very abusive with my mother and I, and not so much with my brother, and I never could figure that out, but my mother and I, we definitely caught the brunt of that. And we left him when I was 14, and of course that's also a very critical time period. And so at 14 I began, you know, participating in the very, very same things that he was, drugs and alcohol and, you know, promiscuous behavior. I was really attracted to, you know, the hard rock scene. I'd begun playing musical instruments at a very young age, and that was sort of an escape for me and a passion too. Still is to this day. I still love to play music and everything. But, with that scene and getting in rock bands and started, you know, playing the club circuit in Atlanta and eventually in the Southeast. I mean, that lifestyle really sucked me in. And so along with that, so you take my childhood of kind of being courted in that mindset and that mind frame of acceptable behavior. You put me in the club, the rock and roll club scene. And it was like gasoline on a fire. I mean, it grew out of control. And so I developed some addictions to alcohol and drugs and that whole lifestyle. And it was just chaotic. And so I do understand the draw. I understand how people get pulled into that and some of the psychology as to why. And just based on my own experiences and other people that I knew of how that happened. But, you know, and so coming out of that, after, you know, my wife and I became Christians when we were late in our 20s, you know, it became, you know, something that I was obviously passionate about because I wanted to help other people out of that. Because that was, I was always looking for something and I didn't know what it was. And so alcohol and drugs filled that space that I was looking to fill. And never occurred to me that it would be God that I was looking for. I always thought it would be something else. And it wasn't until someone shared the gospel with me, they took a chance on me, you know, the guy who looked like the most unlikely candidate, you know, and taught me the gospel. And so now when I think back to those times, I always think about, you know, when I really needed that was, I mean, not that I didn't need it when I was 28, but I really needed it when I was 18, or I really needed it when I was 14, you know, to be truthful. And so I think back to that time, and I think that time period of my life, and I don't know where the quote originated, but I saw a quote a few years back that said, "Be who you needed when you were younger." And that has always stuck with me, and that's the attraction for me with young folks, is that I you know, I want to be available to whoever may need somebody like I needed when I was younger. Someone to understand that, you know, no one ever sets out to be a drug addict. They just set out to have a good time, but those good times lead into that. And I think it's important that you reach kids when they're younger, not to say, hey, don't do drugs, they're bad, because I think everyone knows that, but to maybe be able to talk to them from a different perspective or a talking point of experience, as to why they're bad. It's not simply because your mom and dad say they're bad. There are consequences and there are lifelong repercussions that come from that sort of lifestyle.
Keith, let's talk about some of those characteristics when we come back, whether it be kindness, compassion, love, patience, all the things that it takes to have an understanding of what somebody's going through that we haven't experienced ourselves. Will you stick with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're talking to Keith Stonehart, great friend of mine from Fultondale, Alabama. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I am your host, Mark White.
Let's all do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. Can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
Hi, this is Maddie from Mama Nims.
And this is Amy. Come on out to Mama Nims and have some ribeye steaks, hamburger steaks, pond-raised catfish, whole fish or fillets, made from scratch, homemade, the best in the world ever, apple pies, fresh desserts.
Y'all come by and see us.
Thank you, Amy and Maddie. I would like to encourage you to go to Mama Nims in Anderson, Alabama, 256-800-4003. Check them out on Facebook at Mama Nims, M-A-M-A-N-E-M-S. Just like Mama's cooking, we put the love in it. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
It's bow time. The drive-thru's open, and the food is real deal. Because no matter what else is going on in the world, we all gotta eat. That's why we've got your back with a big bow box that can feed the whole family for just $19.99. Bojangles. It's bow time.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
The Alabama Music Hall of Fame is currently closed due to COVID-19. But they hope that you'll make plans to visit them when they reopen.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
Hey, y'all, this is T. Graham Brown, and you're listening to my friend Mark White right here on The Mark White Show. Great guy. If you want to make a difference in your life, trust in God and never doubt, for surely He will see you out. Make a difference in somebody's life if you can only see me now.
to the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away. 'Cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants dad to watch him play.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. In the first segment, we had my friend Keith Stonehart from Fultonville, Alabama. He was sharing some of his experiences early in life and his upbringing, ultimately how he became a preacher of the gospel, and sharing the differences that we see in his appearance compared to what we might think of as a preacher. But it has worked well when it came to young people and making those connections and building relationships that are so vital when it comes to teaching the gospel. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Keith.
Thanks again for having me, Mark.
Now, when we talk about conversion, and I think about the experiences that you had early on and the path that really it was your environment that you were programmed and trained to go this path in a lot of ways, because that was the path of least resistance for you. But when it comes to conversion, that is not the path of least resistance, and it is easy to revert after being converted. How did the conversion stick?
At the time, we didn't realize what was happening. You know, I mean, obviously, we recognized that everything had to change. What we didn't realize was that everybody was involved. And when I say everybody, I mean, you know, when Kelly and I, you know, our marriage was falling apart. We were on the brink of divorce. Our life had just gotten so out of control. And I had gone so far into the addiction and the other behaviors associated with that, that, you know, in her mind, the only out was to let me go. And it was warranted. I mean, it was you could even say it was scriptural because of my behavior. But even though we wouldn't have considered it scriptural, that's what we consider it now. We didn't really have even have an understanding of that. But I had abused every bit of trust that marriage demands, and so she left, and a man named Brownlee Reeves met with us, and you know, my brother-in-law Mark Bowman, who's an elder in the church now, the Mountain View Church of Christ in Cumming, Georgia. He had come over and talked to me and convinced me to visit, that he thought that he might be able to convince Kelly to meet me there, and that maybe, you know, doing things a different way might bring us back together. And, you know, at the time I was a self-proclaimed atheist. I'm not sure that I was truly an atheist in regards to, you know, hardcore, you know, holding all the tenets of atheism and all the things that are necessary to believe to truly be an atheist. But I knew that I didn't want to believe, and I think it was more maybe a matter of convenience. But I agreed to meet him there. I agreed to come to Wednesday night, you know, Bible class, and Kelly met me there. And so that was reason enough for me. And, you know, the evangelist there, Brownlee Reeves, didn't let us out of the lobby without agreeing to a Bible study, you know, and he was just very persuasive and persistent. But I'll tell you, the thing that stuck with me was the fact that we came in that night. And I was very apprehensive. I was very concerned because of my appearance, because of my lifestyle. And I just thought, okay, these church people are going to kick me out of here and never let me come back, you know. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. Those people just left me right where I was. It seemed like they didn't care where I'd been or what I'd done. They were just glad that I was there. And that was very shocking to me because of what I had built up in my mind. And I was ready to be apprehensive. I was ready to be defensive, and totally disarmed me because they were exactly the opposite. If anybody there was judgmental of me, no one expressed it. And as we began to study with Brownlee and began to develop a faith, and then especially after we were baptized and then converted, what happened was that everyone there, this is the what I was getting to, everyone there was involved in keeping us on track. We had studies with Brownlee on Monday night. We had Wednesday night Bible class. Typically on Fridays and or some Saturdays, someone had us over for dinner. and we would do games and dinner, or sometimes it was dinner and a study, but it was always something with someone else, some other family. And then, you know, then Sundays we had worship, you know, twice. And so there was, and then even about, there was an additional Bible study for young couples, which Kelly and I really needed, on Sunday evenings after afternoon service. And so all but two nights a week, typically we were with Christians, all the time, which really served us well, because, you know, I walked away from the rock and roll scene. You know, my wife and I both were working, you know, in and out of bars. And so we walked away from that. We walked away from that, the bar scene in Atlanta, Georgia, the music scene. We walked away from all of our friends, and like almost instantly we had new friends. And those people eventually became like family to us because we spent so much time with them. It was intense. It wasn't like we just got led to the water to be baptized and then left to drown. Everyone there taught us how to swim, and it was the involvement, I think, of everyone. You know, that the times whenever I would relapse back into drugs, I had people right there holding me accountable and loving me through it. You know, and the times that, you know, that Kelly and I, we would just be at odds and fighting so much, because those first 4 or 5 years were really rough as we were trying to convert out of the world into the Christian lifestyle. It was extremely difficult and very easy to walk away. And there were so many people involved with us, they wouldn't let it happen. You know, when my will was weak, I had my brother calling me on the phone or having lunch with me or something. And so I said all that to say, the short version essentially is that no one let us fall away. Everyone stayed involved with us. The fellowship and the association really mattered to that community of Christians. And unfortunately, I don't see that everywhere. That's definitely a culture that we've tried to create at Fultondale. And I know that it exists in a lot of places, but unfortunately it doesn't exist in every place. And that, if that was the thing, that was the thing that kept us until we were strong enough on our own, until we were, you know, walking on our own with Christ, it was everyone else helping us, you know, helping us stay on track.
The other day I was thinking about the word agenda and how that word has taken on a negative meaning, a negative connotation. Yes. But the fact is, everybody has an agenda. And what you just described, the agenda was to show that they loved you and Kelly and that, yes, you mattered. People will bring people into their groups. They will show that they care in some form or fashion, but you have to be careful about what the motive is and what their agenda is, and not to be cynical about everybody, but to understand why you are part of that group, why you are doing what you're doing, whether that's good or bad.
Absolutely. Well, that was definitely the case with us. I mean, if there was an agenda there, it was that this group wanted to make sure we didn't fall through the cracks. I'm thankful for it.
You have spoken to a lot of young people over the years. I've become familiar with some of the places that you have gone and spoken to, namely teenagers, about some of the experiences that you had and sharing with them, not so they can get involved and they have to come out like you did, but to understand and grasp prior to this happening that you need to be careful the decisions that you make, the choices that you make. And here we have a brand new crop of seniors graduating high school, class of 2020. They're all excited. It's a little different because of COVID. They're going to have those temptations just like every other class has as they get out on their own and they're no longer under the roof. And maybe they were able to do whatever they wanted to under their family's roof, and they have to gain some type of discipline and control over their life so that they can move in the right direction.
Some of the best advice that I've ever even heard given is, you know, number one, know that your parents aren't crazy. You know, sometimes our teenagers, they look at their parents and some of the things that their parents tell them, and they think, are you crazy? And they're not. They're not crazy. They do know what they're talking about. And that, you know, I believe that every parent, if they could spare their children some pain or some trial of life, that they went through, if they could spare their children that, they would. And so I know that sometimes kids think their parents are just nagging them, but listen to your parents. They're not crazy. And to realize, parents need to realize that even though their kids are moving into another stage of their life and they're going to be influenced by many things, their parents are still the biggest influence in their life, and they will be, right? And they may not see that right now. They may not act like it right now, but it does seem to pan out that way. You know, and I know just from my own experiences, the reason that I share things, you know, with kids about, you know, the pain and the trauma associated with some of the choices that I made early on was for the same reason, to spare them from it. You know, at that congregation, young man who actually he's in college now, but, you know, at the time he was young, he was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, and one of the members of the congregation there was having a big 4th of July picnic, and we all came, and we've been outside playing volleyball, and I was in a shirt that had, you know, didn't have sleeves. It was just a sleeveless t-shirt, and I've got tattoos, and, you know, this little boy asked me, he goes, you know, Mr. Keith, why do you have tattoos? And I didn't know what else to say except, well, so that you don't have to. And I say that to say that that's why we do what we do with the kids. We show them these scars so that they don't have to, you know, that they don't have to have these same scars. And so I think for the graduating class, I think they need to listen to their parents. Their parents are telling them these things so that they don't have to endure what they've endured in years past, you know, that they can have a better shot at life without all of the pain that can kind of come with those sorts of choices.
Well, Keith, I know you have some work to do this evening, and I appreciate your time here on the Mark White Show today, and I hope that we can have another conversation before too long.
Man, I would love to, anytime.
Folks, we've been talking to Keith Stonehart out of Fultondale, Alabama. He's a preacher there at Fultondale, and we enjoyed having him on the program. I hope you'll tune in next time as we continue to bring on guests who share messages of encouragement and inspiration, and maybe even some life lessons that can help us all as we try to navigate this world that we live in. You have been listening to The Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I am your host, Mark White.
Special guy.